Life is made up not by the circumstances that surround us, but life is made up by the choices that we make. All of us, every day, make hundreds of decisions and hundreds of choices. Some of those choices are insignificant, and to those choices we give very little thought. I don't think it really matters whether you have cornflakes or whether you have toast for your breakfast in the morning. You choose one that you just simply want for the day. It's not really that significant of a choice. We don't give much thought to things such as that. There are other choices, though, that are very complex. They're extremely important. These require thought and consideration. They may even take a long time to make. As a child comes to the end of his childhood and he begins or she begins to consider, what will I do with the rest of my life? Where will I go to school? Who will I marry? Those are complex. Those are difficult choices. They take time. They ought to take consideration. And for the Christian, they ought to include much prayer. Some choices, though, are they not made by default? If you wait long enough, a choice will be made for you. Those aren't always the best decisions that are made for us. We don't always like those things. But the reality is, if we choose to delay in making some decisions, those decisions will be made for us by default. For the believer, the Christian life involves many choices. And making the right decision is going to make all the difference in your life. We are called upon to choose God's way, even though that way at times may be hard to understand. Yet God calls us to walk in His ways, to follow Him. That's why it's important that we learn how to walk and live by faith. And yet as we seek to do that, we're often challenged by our enemy, the devil, to forsake the ways of God, to go the easy way, to take the path of less resistance, to follow our own selfish ways that we want to accomplish and do. Whatever choice you make as a Christian in these things reveals to yourself and to others who would watch your maturity in Christ. For the followers of God, the reality is this: making the right decision is important. And that's not a new thought. Throughout the scripture, you will find that challenge to make the right choice, to make the right decision. Joshua came to the people of Israel after they had come into the promised land, and right before they are ready to break and go to their homes, they had conquered the land. The land had been divided for their inheritance. And he comes and brings the people together and says, in just a moment, we're going to release you. We're going to send you to your homes, and you're going to begin to live your life. And you're going to begin to function as your family. We're no longer going through the land to conquer. But as you go, I want you today to consider your choice. If it seems evil to you to serve God, then choose the idol that you will serve. But choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But a choice must be made. Elijah stood before Israel on Mount Carmel and before the prophets of Baal. And as they would struggle between God or Baal, serving God or serving idols, he would say to them, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, then follow Him. Matter of fact, let's put it to the test. We're going to set up two altars. We're going to test to see, is God God or is Baal Baal? And Elijah was willing to say, if Baal proves himself to be the true God, I'll serve him. But let's put it to the test. But we've got to stop between choosing one or the other. We have to make the choice. We have always been given the challenge to make right decisions. And in the life of every believer comes the choice. Who will I serve? Will I serve the Lord? Or will I serve myself? You know, that choice is before you this morning. Will I serve the Lord? Or will I serve myself? Am I going to live according to my sight, or will I live by my faith? Moses stands before us as one who made a decision, a choice of his will. One commentator said, well, the opposite of choosing God's way is always Satan's way. And not believing God is believing Satan. Whenever we sin, we believe Satan. We believe that his way is better than God's. We believe the father of lies above the father of truth. As we come to Hebrews 11 this morning, we consider the example of Moses and his faith. We find that Moses shows us the will of faith. I've entitled this morning's message, Faith That Decides, A Matter of the Will. Whether or not you walk and live by faith is a choice you must make. It is a matter of your will. By faith, Moses made the right decision. By faith, he chose to follow God. By faith, he chose to live and serve Him. In order to do so, it required that there would be certain things from God he would accept, and other things from the world that he would deny and reject. In fact, there are seven things that we find in these verses. Each verse here, verse 23 to verse 29, give us something about the faith of Moses. Three of the things that we find are things that Moses accepted from the Lord before revealed those things that he rejected. I want to begin to see these things with me this morning. I don't want you to fear too much. I planned today that this is going to take not only the morning but this evening. So you heard seven and some people started to panic. Okay, I'm going to do that morning and evening, all right? And hopefully we'll get beyond one this morning. We'll get a little further, but I don't know because there's so much truth that we find here. Look at verse 23, would you? I want you to see the first thing that faith does. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. A faith of choice, a faith of the will, faith that is willing to decide to follow God is first of all a faith that accepts God's plans. By faith, God's plans are accepted. In verse 23, we begin to discover this truth of this faith. And we find that it willingly accepts the plans of God. For in verse 23, we find the faith of Moses' parents. As we come into the book of Exodus, we're introduced to them, although we don't know their names right off. But we understand that his parents made a decision by faith. An edict went out from the king, the Pharaoh of all Egypt. And he declared that because of the rise of the population of these slave people, the Israelites, that all male babies were to be cast into the river that they might be drowned. This king was afraid of them rising up and becoming a greater nation than the nation of Egypt itself. And Egypt is at the height of its power. And Moses' parents hear the edict and they find that she is with child and find that she is going to have a son. So they make the choice to hide him. For 3 months they hid their son. By faith, Amram and Jochebed refused to follow the command of the king. And they accepted the plans of God. How do we know they accepted the plans of God? Well, their faith in God caused them to do two things. I want you to see that with me. Number one, their faith caused them or allowed them to perceive God's plan for their son. By faith, they were able to perceive God's plan for their son. When he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents. Notice, because they saw he was a proper child. The idea of that term, a proper child, is more clearly described for us in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 20. You don't have to turn there this morning. Let me just reference that to you. In Acts chapter 7, verse 20, we have the message of Stephen, the first martyr of the church. And he would go through and remind those to whom he was speaking of the history of the nation of Israel. And one of the things that he points out is that of Moses and the faith of his parents. So as Stephen stands before the Sanhedrin, he reminds them that the parents of Moses understood that he was an exceeding fair child. He was a proper child. Greek scholars will tell you that the meaning of those two words is simply this, that he was fair, not only in the eyes of the parents, and by the way, to every parent, their child is fair, but they perceived that he was fair in the eyes of God. They understood by faith that God wanted something from Moses' life. They saw he was proper, exceeding fair in the eyes of God. Can I pause here for a moment? Parents, we all think much and we think the world of our children, don't we? They are the apple of our eyes. But can I ask you a question this morning, Mom and Dad? Have you ever looked at your children through the eyes of God? Have you ever sought to see them as God sees them? Have you ever asked God by faith to allow you a glimpse of His plan for that child? Because God has a plan for your child. God has something He desires of them. And by the way, you and I are given a command, are we not? To train up our children in the way they should go. What way is that? We could say generically, well, it's the way of the Word of God. But you know, as you're training children and you understand that the Word means to narrow, that means we have to have a little bit more than this general view. Well, we want them to kind of turn out good for God somewhere along the way. You know, it's our job as parents to point them in the direction of God's will and to get them in that way. And Moses and Aaron's parents, Amram and Jochebed, understood that he was a proper child. They were able to perceive God's plan for their son by faith. They caught a glimpse of what God had for them and for him. They perceived God's plan. And because of that, they were willing to defy the order of the king and put their life at risk. And that leads to the second thought. They were able to trust in God's protection for their son. You remember the story of Moses. For 3 months he was hid. When they could hide him no longer, they made of him a little ark. And they placed him in that basket and they set him afloat in the Nile River, right by the place where the Pharaoh's daughter would come and there she would bathe. Can I ask you a question this morning? Where did they get that idea from? By faith? I believe they got that from the Lord. And by faith, they trusted in God's protection for them. They trusted that God was able to care for his life in order that he might use his life. They had no idea when they put him in the river and set his sister Miriam at watch how Pharaoh's daughter would respond. She could have very easily saw the child, taken the child, and drowned the child herself right there on the spot under the edict of her father. But by faith, they trusted God. And by faith, they did what God called them to do for their son. And God blessed. They accepted God's plan for him. No, they didn't try to alter that plan. They didn't come up with a better idea. Lord, I understand what you're trying to, what you kind of want us to do, but I really think it'd be better for us if we went about it this way with them. We seem to know a little bit more about what would be best for Moses. You know, sometimes parents do that. Lord, I understand you have a plan for their life, but Lord, it seems like your plan's going to take them away from us. And I don't know, are they really going to be safe over there? Lord, you kind of have this thing that my son wants to be a missionary, but that means he's not going to be right here with us. And he's going to go to a foreign land, and he might get in trouble over there. He might get hurt. Lord, I think we're going to steer him in a different direction. By faith, they accepted the plans of God. They perceived what God had for them, and they trusted God for Moses' protection. They didn't alter the plans of God. They trusted Him and put their faith in Him. I like the words that John MacArthur shares. He makes it very clear. God needs our obedience, not our help. He needs our trust, not our counsel. He makes the plans. We walk in them by faith. Did you catch that? God needs your obedience. He does not need your help. He didn't need you to make the world. He doesn't need you to run the world. He didn't need you to give you life. He doesn't need you to tell Him how to live your life. He doesn't need your counsel. He needs your trust. God's the one who makes the plans. We're supposed to accept them and walk by faith. You know what the blessing was for the parents of Moses? They perceived God's plan. They trusted God for His protection. They walked by faith according to the plans of God. What did God do? He took that son who should have died and gave them right back for mom and dad to train. And then when he came of age, was given to Pharaoh's daughter. What a blessing. By faith, they accepted the plans of God, and by faith, God was able to do His work through Moses. Now look at verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This faith of the will is a faith that is willing to deny the world's prestige. By faith, the world's prestige is denied. In the first point, we see the faith of Moses' parents, their willingness to accept the plans of God. As we come to verse 24, we find that the faith that they placed in their son in the hands of God, and they trusted God that would protect him and to use him. And now when we come to verse 24, we find Moses himself coming to years, coming to the place of maturity, and coming to the point that he must decide. 40 years have passed, and Moses now must make a choice. Who will I associate with? Will I be the son of Pharaoh's daughter? Or will I be a son of God, a child of Israel? Who would he associate with? He has to decide. The choice is his. We understand in the early parts of his life, his parents trained him in the ways of God. But for the vast majority of those 40 years, he grew up in Pharaoh's house with all the trappings of the most powerful nation in the world. If he wanted it, he had it. And everything that came with being part of Pharaoh's house, he was exposed to. He was exposed to the philosophy of the world. He was exposed to their wealth and their ways of living. For 40 years he had been pretty much under their trappings and their ways of life. But the Bible says in verse 24, by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, Moses chose the way of God and rejected the prestige that the world was ready to heap upon him. He willingly gave up all that Egypt had to offer and took his place with the people of God, slaves in Egypt. I want you to consider again the truth that at this time, Egypt is the most powerful nation in the world, filled with great wealth and honor. Historically, it's only a few years after the end of Moses' life that one King Tut would rule and reign in Egypt. You well know of the wealth of his tomb. Egypt was at the height of its power. But by faith, Moses decided to turn his back on the prestige that the world was ready to heap upon him, that he might take his place with the people of God. He denied their fame and their prestige in order to be numbered amongst the people of God. From a worldly point of view, Moses was giving up everything for seemingly nothing. But through the eyes of faith, Moses understood that he was giving up nothing that he might gain everything. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 3 in his own personal testimony. He said, "Those things which were gained to me, those I have counted loss for Christ. Yea, I have counted them as dung, that I may win Christ, that I might win the excellency of his knowledge. All that the world desired to heap upon me, to me that is loss, I won only Jesus Christ. The rest is but refuge. It is waste. It is worthless. But Christ is everything." The story is told of Baron Justina von Wels, Austrian-born nobility, born in 1621. At 40 years of age, he was converted. And he became convinced that he needed to spread the gospel. He, in some ways, is about 150 years or so before his time when it comes to his view of the missionary endeavors. In 1666, he renounced his title and he forsook his inheritance that he might travel to South America with the gospel. As he was preparing to go to share the gospel in a place in the world that he had never been, he made this statement: "What is it to me to bear the title well born when I am born again to Christ? What is it to me to have the title Lord when I desire to be the servant of Christ? What is it to be called your grace when I have need of God's grace? All these vanities I will away with, and all else I will lay at the feet of my dear Lord Jesus." The example of Moses and others are a far cry today for many in Christianity who long for the accolades of this world. By faith, he denied the world's prestige and numbered himself with the people of God. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now look at verse 25. "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season." By faith, the world's pleasures are denied. By faith, the world's pleasures are denied. He was willing to give up not only their prestige, but their pleasures. All of us know that sin has pleasure. Don't be fooled by it. It does. There is pleasure in sin. But what we often forget is that the pleasures of sin are two things. One, they are always evil. And they are meant for evil. Second, they are always fleeting. And soon, they pass away. You know, the devil seeks to place before us all the pleasures of this world. He tells us that we deserve such pleasures. It won't hurt anyone. The problem is that sin has no good. And it brings no good. Yet before us, we are often given the thought or the choice for the pleasures of sin. There is pleasure. But it never brings good. It always brings evil. And that pleasure is but fleeting. You know, David learned that lesson, did he not? David was tempted to sin. In a time of weakness, he allowed himself to listen to the lie of the devil. He sinned against the Lord with Bathsheba. Certainly there was pleasure in his sin, but it quickly passed away. And for that moment of pleasure, for that moment of pleasure for David, came years of agony. The child to be born would die. And if you studied David's life and you studied their family from that moment on, it was nothing but heartache. Absalom rebelled against him and was killed. Another son's sin led to his death and great destruction to a daughter. There was great heartache because there was pleasure in sin, but there's problem with sin. And sin always brings heartache. By faith, Moses chose to deny the pleasure that the world had to offer. And he decided instead to suffer ill treatment with the people of God. He would rather be with them than enjoy the passing pleasures of the world. I find it sad that many of our young people in Christianity today, having been raised in good and godly homes, would choose to rather reject the God who loves them for the fleeting pleasures of sin that seeks to destroy them. You know, some would begin to say in our day and generation, Pastor, what's wrong with a little bit of fun? What's wrong with us being allowed to go out and enjoy ourselves and sow our wild oats? What's wrong with a young person going out and enjoying a little bit of free time and involving himself with things such as alcohol? What's wrong with those things? We're just kids. We're young. We should have the right to do as we please. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of pleasure. When folks bring those kind of questions up, I always like to ask the question, can you name one person who through the regular use of things such as alcohol has ever been helped and not hurt those around them and those who they loved? I can remember years ago sitting with someone in my office, and she was very adamant about the fact that she didn't think there was anything wrong with the use of alcohol. As a matter of fact, I don't think you can even prove to me from the Bible that it's wrong. I said, okay, let's set the Bible aside. I want you to answer me one question. Tell me one person you know that alcohol has benefited their life. Just one. That because they used it, they were a better person. Tell me one. I said, now. I said, while you're trying to think of that one, name one person that you know that alcohol has hurt. And I said, from there, you're going to come up with a list of probably hundreds. Folks, there is a problem with sin. Sin wants to destroy. When sin is finished, it brings forth death. By faith, Moses rejected the pleasure of the world. By faith, his parents accepted God's plan. And because of their faith and their teaching of their own son, when he came to age, he was able to say, I'll reject their prestige and I'll reject the pleasures of the world. By faith, we must choose who we will serve. Verse 26 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, the world's riches are also rejected. Moses, as the son of Pharaoh for 40 years, had enjoyed all the materials that riches could afford. Yet, as we have seen, he rejected all the pleasures and the riches of that world they could offer. And his choice was based on careful consideration. By faith, he rejected the treasures of this earth, that he might lay up treasure in heaven. Look at verse 26. I want you to see that word with me as it begins. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. That word esteeming gives us the concept of consideration. It means the use of careful thought. It means that when Moses came to age, he had been taking the time to consider, who will I stand with? What will my desire of life be? Do I want their prestige? Do I want their pleasure? Do I want their wealth and their riches? Or do I want to stand with the people of God? He had weighed the options. He had considered his choices. And he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of Egypt. He didn't make a rash choice. He made a well thought out one. He considered all the possibilities, and after considering all the options, he wanted the treasures of heaven and the riches of Christ. Christian, I wonder, do we fully comprehend all that we have in Christ? The riches of Christ Jesus, the spiritual riches that he affords. I don't think we do. Because if we understood those riches and that wealth, we would be laying for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. We wouldn't be so enamored with the silver and gold of this world. By the way, we weren't redeemed with silver and gold, were we? We were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Moses was aware of the truth that God will reward those who choose to follow him. He had respect under the recompense of the reward. You know, in Philippians 4 and verse 19, we find this wonderful truth, that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. I want you to catch two words in that verse. According to. God supplies according to his riches, not simply out of. In proportion to his wealth, he blesses. I can give you out of my wealth. Not much, but I can give you out of my wealth. You can give out of your wealth. But someone who is truly wealthy can give according to their wealth. They can give a number that you and I can't even fathom, but it's just according to what they already possess. They have much more to give. And folks, God owns it all. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He gives according to his riches. Again, I like the words John MacArthur shared in his commentary. I think he correctly states, for 40 years, Moses enjoyed the riches of Egypt. For the rest of his life, he forsook them because they interfered with his obedience to God and would have prevented his receiving immeasurably greater riches when it came time for eternal reward. Christian, by faith, we're supposed to be laying up treasure in heaven. What does this world really have to offer? Fleeting prestige and fame? Oh, you may be well respected for a time until someone comes and trumps you. And then the world goes after someone else for a while. Athletes learn that. Oh, they're so important, so powerful, until they retire and no one ever comes knocking on their door or wanting another interview. They're just washed up, no good anymore. Do you want the world's prestige and their fame? Pleasure? Pleasure which really seeks more than anything to destroy? Riches and wealth that when we die are given to someone else? By faith, Moses' parents accepted God's plan. And they hid him for 3 months. and they placed their son in the hand of Almighty God. That son, by faith, chose to walk with God, to identify with the people of God. He rejected the world's prestige, their pleasure, and their riches, because those things interfered with his walk with God and the riches that would come. We're going to pause there and stop there for this morning. We'll pick up later tonight as we consider the rejecting or the denying of the world's pressures that are placed upon us. And then we'll consider again the positive aspects that by faith we'll accept God's provisions and accept his promises. Let's go ahead and close our time in a word of prayer though this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we're able to come and we're able to gather together, that we might consider the life of faith. Lord, you've called us to walk and live by faith. And that faith is a matter of choice. It's a matter of will. And Father, I pray that you would help us to walk by our faith, to live by our faith day by day. Lord, that choice to walk with you is a choice to deny the things of this world. But a choice to live for the pleasures of this world is a choice that denies the love of our God. We're to love God, not the things of this world. For to love him is to keep his commandments. To love him is to do right, be pleasing and honoring to him. And to do those things prove that we desire to be numbered with the people of God more than with the world that's rejected him. Father, I pray that you would help us, each and every one, to by choice live by faith. We thank you, Lord, and praise you for our time together this morning. In Jesus' name.